Hey, Steve, how you doing?
Doing well. How about you?
Hey, I don't know if you heard or not. Gonzaga's going to Pac-12. Some random no-name journalist reported that a week ago, and nobody believed him. But, yeah, that's what's going on today.
Actually, when I gave you attribution on the show last week as that random no-name journalist, I thought it was – it seemed right – is it – I'm going to maybe guess a little bit here, but is Gonzaga going to get a full share of the Pac-12 when this is all said and done, like a football school?
That's what I was told when I initially, you know, reported that back on September 23rd. Certainly things can change. They still have to get another football member. You know, at that time they were just bringing Utah State on board. From the sources that correctly told me Gonzaga was going to the Pac-12, the understanding was, yes, they would receive a full share. I don't know if that has officially been determined yet. And to be honest, Steve, I don't think it will be until they get in the eighth football member and can sit down and pass all this out. And also, look, they still got to go to market. They got to get a media rights deal with the new configuration. But, yeah, I think it's a great move for the Pac-12. I know you don't want to talk about basketball, but certainly, you know, with what they were left with and what, you know, their options that they realistically had for the Pac-12 all smelled like bad fish. So being able to get somebody like Gonzaga into that league for a basketball partnership is huge for the Pac-12. And you know, kind of like that Neil Young song, to paraphrase, realignment never sleeps.
Well, I'm going to my 43rd season announcing Penn State basketball, so I'll talk hoops anytime. That's not a problem.
Okay, there you go.
Okay. Now, before I get back to the Pac-12, UTEP is going to go to, it looks like, the Mountain West for them. What kind of fit is that for the Mountain West to then step in and be a replacement team?
Well, look, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. They have not been that great in football. They are located in the state of Texas, which opens up that state recruiting-wise. They are, you know, you know your hoops. They've been better than most in basketball. Mm-hmm. They've had some good success there. You know, basically at this point, Steve, you know, we've gone past the point of the Big Ten adding the four Pac-12 schools, and we're past the point of the SEC going with Texas and OU. Right. Now, basically, it's the trickle-down effect. And now these conferences further down the totem pole are basically in a survival mode.
Yep.
And they're just grabbing warm bodies so they can keep their membership above eight to stay an NCAA FBS conference and qualify for the college football playoff. That's what they're doing. So all things considered, getting UTEP is not bad for the Mountain West. It makes sense from a geography standpoint. I also reported last week that they are having conversations, the Mountain West, with Northern Illinois and Toledo out of the MAC.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah.
Folks, they could destroy MACtion for us, which I know a lot of your listeners love. Why in the world are they doing that? People are wondering. Well, those guys would be football-only members. And what that would do is, I talked a little bit earlier about the Pac-12 and their media rights deals. The Mountain West, and when they go back to the negotiating table for their media rights deal, they potentially could have a conference, the only conference in America, hang the banner, that spans five time zones.
Oh, yeah.
Four in the continental United States and Hawaii.
Yep.
So for a network, that adds a lot of value. When you're able to put games on from noon to midnight, now they're not going to make anywhere close to power conference money. But if they can just increase, they're only at $5 million right now. So potentially maybe they can increase that up to $7 million per team, $8 million, right. Maybe $10 million, who knows. But any kind of increase in today's market is huge, and so that's why, Steve, they're looking to dip into the MAC and potentially, it's not going to destroy MACtion. MACtion will always survive. As I've said, and this is a compliment, when the world ends, only two things will survive, and that is cockroaches and the Mac. So they'll be fine. They just may lose two of their members.
All right. So let's have, with the audience, let's have a little fun of geography. El Paso is actually closer to Los Angeles than Houston, even though they're in the same state with Houston. And Toledo is actually closer to London than Hawaii. So other than that,
I saw the Toledo beat guys reporting that. Oh my god, dude, they're not playing every year at Hawaii, okay?
Right. Yeah.
So when the Hawaii Bowl has an invitation, Toledo can't go to the Hawaii Bowl because it's too far. I mean, give me a break.
Right.
I mean, I understand the regional and the beauty of the MAC is that everybody is right there. It's an old school conference, and I love that.
Yeah.
And by the way, I hate conference realignment.
Yeah.
For what it's done for college athletics, but yeah, you're right. You can make all these comparisons about you're closer to Africa than you are to Hawaii. I mean, some of these schools may be closer to the moon than they are to some of their conference members at this point.
All right, so now let me throw out an interesting chip, and that is Texas State, which has been FBS for 12, 13 years now. Right, in this lower level realignment, what kind of chip potentially is Texas State in terms of people wanting them?
Well, going back to the desperate times segment of realignment, that's basically where we're at. The Mountain West needs one more. They talked to Texas State. Texas State would rather go to the Pac-12. So that ain't happening. Sorry, Bobcats. Pac-12 does not have any interest in Texas State. So Texas State, has a decision. They can go to the Mountain West, or they can remain in the Sun Belt. And then if there is movement with the American, maybe some teams leave the American, maybe to reengage with the Pac-12, or potentially, if the American loses school, now we're getting several years down the road. American loses schools to the ACC. If the ACC loses schools, then, maybe Texas State has their sights on getting to the American or something like that. Mm-hmm. But they're not going to the Pac-12. I think it'd be a good fit for both Texas State and the Mountain West. You establish another brand in Texas.
Yep.
Gives you two schools in Texas. They haven't had a school in Texas since TCU back in 2011. That's kind of the next. If you're kind of playing along at home, that's kind of the next one to keep your eye on, is does Texas State go to the Mountain West? And if not, then Mountain West still has to come up with one more full member.
So then for the Pac-12, which needs to come up with one more, give me a couple of candidates.
So I'm not reporting this, but my opinion is I think the Pac-12 takes a breath. They've got Gonzaga in. And I think they take a couple of months and they kind of reevaluate everything. And I think they make another run at the schools in the American.
Okay. Got it.
Because, Steve, I don't think there's anything else out there that they can, look, if they want to go at Sacramento State or Montana State or North Dakota State or somebody like that, that doesn't make a lot of sense. You just brought on Gonzaga. The question is, can they get enough money out of their media deal to convince those teams to leave the American? Because those teams from the American, it's a lateral move to the Pac-12. Mm-hmm. You're not a power conference.
Right.
So if they're not making more money to, take on all that additional travel, it's not going to make sense. But that's what I think will happen. That's my opinion, not reporting, but that's my opinion on what I think the Pac-12 ultimately does. But of course, if I confirm it and I know it's happening, I will happily tweet it and then watch everybody tell me I'm wrong.
Right. I know. You seem to be right about a lot of stuff. So for all the people who want to say I think he's wrong. No, he's right.
Well, it's funny. When somebody doesn't report something, then it's, okay, we need to debunk this report.
Right.
Look, I get beat on stories all the time. I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
But anyway. Sorry.
Right. It's fine. That, which now gets me to the national meeting, SEC, Big Ten. They mentioned scheduling or whatever, and we all know the SEC has eight conference games, the Big Ten has nine. But in the end, is this an SEC Big Ten power play on getting as many as four automatic bids for each conference in the college football playoff? I mean, is that a possibility with this?
Well, I think it's to get everybody together and just kind of have these discussions face-to-face and decide what exactly they want going forward. What exactly do they want? I know Tony Petitti's a big proponent of four automatic bids for those two conferences. Obviously, you know, the other seven conferences disagree, but guess what? The other seven conferences don't matter. That's just the reality of it.
Yep.
You know, as far as scheduling agreements, I think that's something that would be another baby step, but a step towards we're going to get to some point down the road where the SEC and the Big Ten kind of take their ball and they go play their own game. They do their own playoff. They do their own season. They do it's NFL light, if you will.
Yeah.
I don't think necessarily, Steve, they want to do that, but if they can't get what they want, then that's the hammer that they can always threaten. So, you know, all the projections right now for my projections at Action Network for the playoff and for all the bowl games, I think I have seven from the Big Ten and from the SEC. So basically almost eight, but they're not automatic. Those are teams that I feel are going to be up there. If there's ever a year where the third and fourth team from those power leagues, you know, have four losses, I don't think they should be guaranteed a spot in the playoff. They disagree. And also, I think, you know, what comes first, the chicken or the egg? What comes first is the four automatic bids guaranteed before you do the scheduling agreement.
That's right.
Because that way you're not concerned if you suffer some more losses, because you know basically if I'm in the top four in the Big Ten, I'm guaranteed a spot in the playoff, whether I'm 10-2 or whether I'm 8-4. You know, I don't think anything concrete's going to come out of this, any kind of announcement or agreement. I just think it's another step in talking and seeing what they want to do. But again, because keep in mind, all of the commissioners will not determine the format of the playoff starting in 2026 until after this season is completed.
That's right.
They can decide what they want to do. They can float the trial balloon. I'm sure a number of people will report it after the meeting to get, you know, kind of, you know, get the finger up in the air and see which way the wind's blowing on the reaction. But no matter what they discuss, won't officially be announced after that meeting. But obviously, it'll give us kind of a hint of what they're thinking about in the future. And you're right, real quick, about what you said about the SEC. I don't think the Big Ten is going to be on board until the SEC goes to nine games.
That's right.
Within their own conference, which I think that will happen once ESPN will give the SEC the money they feel they deserve by adding another conference game.
Right, exactly. ESPN will give them money for more inventory. Simple as that. And I agree with you completely. My opinion is the same as yours, that, look, they want to get the four automatics for each conference. That's a far greater priority, and then the scheduling part comes after that. What do you think of the opening month of the season so far? What has struck you?
What struck me is I felt, before the season I said this, and I'm probably going to be wrong, but we'll see. I said the Big Ten and SEC champ would both have two losses. We'll see if that happens. You know, Georgia proved they're human. I mean, basically right now, everybody but Texas has looked like beatable. There's only four schools right now that have not trailed in a game this season. Real quick, you know who they are?
Four schools that haven't.
One from the Big Ten.
Four schools haven't trailed in a game this season. Ohio State.
Wrong.
Wow.
Indiana.
Oh,
Akron,
that's right.
Let them 3-0.
You know, that's right. That's right. Indiana has not trailed all season.
Indiana, the mighty Hoosiers. Indiana, Texas, Tennessee, and Army. How about that?
Wow.
So I guess my takeaway is I don't think there's really been a dominant team yet. I know Texas has looked really good. I'm not sold on them yet. I think Michigan's an 8-win team. I think it's, you know, pretty telling. The Big Ten came out and changed the rules midseason when they botched the onside kick.
Oh.
Or Michigan could have lost that game.
Yep.
You know what? And, you know, I'm not just sucking up to the home crowd here, but my God, Penn State looks like a totally different team on offense.
Yeah.
With Andy as offensive coordinator. And, yep. You know, this is, yes, Penn State fans, I'll die on this hill. This is the year you finally make the playoffs. They had to expand it, but I feel good for you this year.
Yeah.
But no, what Franklin's done there, he's got him, you know, going in the right direction. They look really good. I some people that I value their opinion a lot, that are a lot smarter than me, they actually like Penn State is a good value play to win the Big Ten.
In the end,
I can't disagree with that.
Yeah. In the end, how interested are you going to see? I know it's a once a week deal. But the reality of traveling back and forth yet hasn't set in for anybody. I know Washington just did it at Rutgers. How interested are you to see if there's a attrition rate in November for the West Coast teams once they do have to start traveling east and then going back?
You know, it's funny. If they win, everyone's going to say it's not that big a deal. If they lose, everyone's right. going to blame the travel. I don't really think it's going to be an impact. I forgot. It was Lincoln Riley who said, you know, teams do this in the NFL all the time. Why is it such a big deal for college kids?
Right.
And I kind of agree with that. They're not student athletes anymore. They're players. They're getting paid. They do go to classes, allegedly. They do have other responsibilities. But bottom line, they're getting treated as well as the professionals.
Yeah.
They're chartered flights. They're not sitting in the, you know, we don't see them sitting in the Delta, you know, terminal A2 waiting for the plane to get there. So, Steve, I really don't think it's going to matter because the schedules are made out to give teams the travel a break. I know Miami's playing at Cal this week.
Yeah.
By the way, I'm already trying to get a Woke versus Coke t-shirt from that game. I talked to Miami. They're going out a day early,
right.
Thursday,
yeah.
And they're not coming back until they're not leaving until Sunday. They're not even going to do a red eye. They're just going to sleep in, get up Sunday, come back. They're off the next week. So also the conferences have done a good job. You know, teams that are traveling cross country to give them an extra day, give them an off week, to give them some extra time.
Yeah,
kind of similar when teams go play at Hawaii or when teams go play at Africa.
Right. See, I completely agree with that. I've been telling everybody when I go out to speak, I said, to be honest with you, to me, you have to do it the right way. I said, but it's no big deal. Penn State, when they go to USC next week, is going Thursday as well. So, you know.
Yeah, they'll figure it out. You adjust.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, always a pleasure. You make this like, boom, it goes like that. Thank you so much for the time, as always, Brett. I can't wait to talk with you again.
Hey, thanks, Steve. Thanks for putting up with me. Take care, buddy.
Putting up with you. You're great. Thanks, Brett.